four military service offices housed out of Fort Leavenworth, like you said, in Fort Leavenworth, Leavenworth, Kansas. Now, Fort Leavenworth was the epicenter of U.S. military operations against indigenous populations in the Western Front, to begin with, just historically. Now, today, the Foreign Military Service Office, what they say they do is they assess asymmetric and emerging threats to the national security of the United States. By asymmetric, they mean terrorist organizations, guerrilla armies, rebel groups. By emerging threats, what they're talking about is social movements. Social movements, in particular indigenous or popular social movements, are being assessed as a threat to U.S. political and economic interests in Mexico. And basically, the FMSO essays, the Demarest book, and a list of other writings that we published on the Demarest Factor on the Ellen and Miyoko Moon site, and is also on anymedia.org, they clearly demonstrate a systematic devaluation of indigenous culture and identity, with a particular disdain demonstrated for indigenous or popular self-determination, self-sufficiency, self-reliance, but more specifically, self-governance. Recently, the Mexican federal government received a very similar funding packet to Plan Colombia, which is being called the Merida Initiative. Now, this funding packet is going to amount to a total of $1.6 billion for the Mexican military, right? This is extremely concerning because it is clear with these Demarest essays, it is clear that the U.S. government has collusion between a political and economic imposition between from the North American Free Trade Agreement and a military counterinsurgency strategy that is looking at indigenous populations in the region. The devaluation of indigenous people systematically is the devaluation of poor people's struggles everywhere. I mean, the relationship of indigenous people to the land is a good example of how poor people in all over the world are facing their land use, their land tenure. Renters in row housing in the United States are facing a similar systematic devaluation through processes of gentrification, of criminalization, and of course of violence that is in our communities, that is being imposed in our communities, violence that is black on black violence, brown on brown violence, indigenous on indigenous violence. The strategies that are being implemented in Mexico are very similar to strategies of displacement that we're seeing in urban centers all over the world. Poor people, renters, are not considered viable consumers or producers, therefore they're considered disposable variables in this equation for profit, and their displacement is basically part of the process. Well, in 1992, when the North American Free Trade Agreement was signed, the trade agreement would actually go into effect in 1994, but when it was signed in 1992, basically Mexico was given 2 years to catch up and make serious structural reforms to its cultural, social, political, and economic landscape. And one of the first reforms that was made by Mexican President Carlos Salinas de Gortari, and what he did was he revoked Article 27 of the Mexican Constitution. Article 27 gave Mexico's indigenous communal land grants. Now, these aren't reservations. These were lands that were granted to the indigenous to be held communally or collectively. And the purpose of this communal land ownership is so that the land can never be sold, so that it will always remain in the hands of the indigenous. And since then, indigenous people have been fighting extra hard to maintain their communal land because now they're no longer protected constitutionally. Now, this doesn't mean that people just gave up their land overnight. We're still in a series of struggles for communal land tenure throughout Mexico. So that's the history of it. Now, in terms of communal land tenure is the basis for self-determination because through collectively holding land, indigenous people are able to collectively and, more importantly, horizontally self-govern that land and themselves on it. To me, that is what is considered the greatest threat. It is clear that the greatest threat to the powers of this country has never been terrorism, has never been communism, has never been narcotics. It has always been grassroots community-based organizing for self-determination. That was the case of Native people on this land to begin with. That was the case of the Black Panthers, the Young Lords, of the Nietas, of any gang that tried to get out of the gang and into some sort of community organizing. Now you're considered a problem.